A Small Sacrifice by Ellen Hart. After many hours of driving through some of the richest farmland in America, Cordelia Thorne saw a sign that said, Summer Green, 4 miles. She felt her hands tenser on the steering wheel. She'd never been afraid of confrontation before. She'd even prided herself on her forthright handling of sensitive issues in both her work and personal life. But somehow this was different. So much was riding on the outcome of the next few days. She dutifully filled out forms Dr. Benson had given her. It provided a good perspective from which to view Diana's life as it touched her own. What she'd once seen as merely high spirits mixed with bad judgment now formed a more ominous picture. Diana had been having problems with alcohol ever since college. Cordelia felt more than a little guilty that she'd turned such a blind eye, allowing her friend to drown quietly. Then again, the apprehension she was experiencing wasn't limited to Diana and the intervention. All week she'd been wondering what it would be like to spend time again with the Shevlin Underground. Even the name now caused her acute embarrassment. It was so silly, so dated, so hopelessly young. And if nothing else, no one was young any longer. Even though she was excited to see her friends again, she knew the old tensions were just under the surface. They would all be walking through a minefield until they got to the final day, if they got that far. Stop it, she ordered herself. Her melodramatic nature was running amok. The visit would go just fine. Oh, there might be the unavoidable glitch or two, but what the hell? They were all human. She had to think positively. For one thing, they loved each other. That was never in question. Each person, in his or her own way, was making a certain sacrifice to be at this reunion. They'd each be on their best behavior because nobody was an idiot. They all knew, like Cordelia, what the potential problems were. Everyone would put Diana first. No, it would be just fine. Just fine. As she slowed the car to 40, she began to see more houses and lawns instead of cows and cornfields. Another sign at the edge of town proclaimed, Welcome to Summer Green, Radish Capital of the Upper Midwest. Cordelia laughed out loud at that bit of hype. God, what people wouldn't get excited over. At the bottom there was the population, 3,487. Over 3,000 avid radish lovers. Each, no doubt, with a recipe for creamed radishes on toast or radish preserved handed down directly from Grandma. She'd have to alert Jane. Perhaps a new cookbook should be considered. After half a mile, she spotted a billboard. This one advertised the new Radish Hill Mall. Cordelia bit her lower lip. It was clear what had just happened. Sure, Rod Serling owned the hardware store. She'd finally entered the Twilight Zone. She'd always had a sneaking suspicion it was somewhere in the Midwest. Orson had given her a rather crude map before he left. Now, if she could just find Main Street. She looked up at the street signs whizzing past and realized that the highway had ceased to exist and she was already on Main. Up ahead, she could see stores on either side of the street. The town was probably deserted except for a small child, a dog, and an old man. The townspeople had mysteriously vanished. A metallic object had been sighted falling from the sky into a ditch just south of the mall. Two men, dressed in leopard skins and Robin Hood hats, had walked into town and entered the café. Fade to morning. Cordelia knew she needed to eat something before she actually started to hallucinate. The tuna sandwich, corn chips, and ho-ho she'd packed for the trip had been devoured before she'd left the Twin Cities city limits. She was just like a kid. She could never wait. Passing through the business district, such as it was, she turned left onto Oak Avenue and picked up speed. Once again, the houses began to dwindle as the road turned into a highway. By the time she spotted the church, now turned playhouse, she was back into fields and cows. Diana lived next door to a church in what had once been the parsonage. It was a lovely sight, the evening hues subtle like a Wyeth watercolor. Driving up to the white wood-framed buildings, she couldn't help but notice how the simplicity of their design fit perfectly into the rustic surroundings. Clean, sharp lines. Cordelia pulled her car off the road and sat looking at the restful yet slightly smarmy scene. "Give me downtown St. Paul any day," she mumbled, listening to the disconcerting silence. The fading summer sunlight had imbued the buildings with a kind of angelic glow, casting deep shadows along the east side of the parsonage. The church steeple, which once housed a bell tower, now served as the anchor for a large wooden sign, the Summer Green Playhouse. Diana had mentioned that the fire which destroyed the back of the church had spared the carved wooden pews. She'd left them untouched, knowing that they lent a kind of reverent formality to the interior. To her, theaters were intensely spiritual places. People sitting in the dark, listening to other people in the light, talk about the experience of being human. Cordelia crooked her neck and saw that, though most of the tall, pointed windows on the side were clear glass, some of the old stained glass panels still remained. Two of them flanked the arched double doors in the front. She couldn't wait to get inside and see what Diana had dreamt up for the stage. She'd hired an architect from New York City, a personal friend. As Cordelia sat and contemplated the deepening sunset, its reds and golds settling into the grassy fields, a white Cadillac rolled over a distant rise. It came to a stop in front of the parsonage. The windows were dark, preventing her from seeing inside. Whoever was behind the wheel was probably just satisfying his curiosity, because after a moment he drove on. Maybe it was a resident of the town, though by now everyone must have had their fill of the new construction. It was probably the biggest event to hit Summer Green since the Radich blight of 05. She returned her attention to the church and the gloomy graveyard which stretched behind it. Not a particularly welcoming sight for visitors to the new theater. Nevertheless, unlike Brigadoon, it wasn't going to disappear. Diana had made the best of it by keeping the lawn manicured. Here and there flowers sprouted in thick clumps. She might even be able to use it to her advantage by offering prospective repertory players their own plot should anything untoward happen during a performance. Cordelia snickered at the thought. After all, perks were perks. Out of the corner of her eye, she caught sight of a figure skulking in the shadows near the back of the parsonage. She squinted to get a better look, thinking it might be one of her group. They were all great skulkers. But this person appeared to be elderly, gray-haired. She also seemed to be peeking in one of the side windows. Was this the town Peeping Tom? The idea that she was actually witnessing a peeping gave Cordelia the willies. She honked her horn, but her reaction had been too slow. The woman had already disappeared around the rear of the house. Yuck! And she was about to pull back, onto the road and head for the parking lot. The same white car she'd seen a minute ago rumbled by once again. Just as before, it stopped in front of the house, but closer to the front windows this time. Was someone casing the joint? The happenings inside the parsonage seemed to be of interest to one and all. As the sky grew darker, the lights grew brighter inside. It was possible now to see into the front room. She checked her watch. Nearly 8. Lights were also glowing inside the playhouse. She decided to take the direct approach. She rolled down the window of her car and leaned her head out, calling, "Hi! Great house, huh? My name's Cordelia. What's yours?" The chill night air smacked her square in the face. No sooner had she called her greeting than the Cadillac revved its motor and sped off. But before it did, she fixed on the license plate. She couldn't get the number, but she caught the state. Illinois. Interesting. An out-of-towner. From the same state as Kurt and Annie. Good riddance, she thought to herself, as she pulled her car into the parking space right next to Orson's Lincoln. She turned off the motor and got out, her nose twitching as she sniffed the itchy summer air. The scent which assaulted her was very different from what she'd grown accustomed to in South Minneapolis. Car exhaust mixed with just the right hint of ozone. Not that she had anything against city life. God made her for concrete and late-night bistros. But this smell was decidedly pleasant. Earthy and sweet, with a slight whiff of cow. She could do without the cow, unless it gave chocolate milk, of course. "Bellboy!" she shouted, hearing no response except the buzz of mosquitoes, all itching for blood. "Ah," she sighed, heaving her heavy bags out of the trunk and letting them thump to the ground. "Ain't country living grand?"